Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah alone, the Lord of all that exists. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin. And may Allah raise the rank of our Prophet Muhammad and grant him peace. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina. And likewise for his family and companions and true followers, all the way until the Day of Judgment. Welcome back to Mirath Radio. And by Allah's grace and permission, He has allowed us to come together once again to study the tafsir, the explanation of His glorious book, the Qur'an. And today, in this session, by Allah's permission and from His bounties, we're going to study the opening verses of Surah At-Tur, which immediately follows the Surah Al-Dhariyat that we have completed right here on Mirath Radio in 8 sessions. Walhamdulillah. And now for the next 5 sessions, this one and 4 following, we're going to look at the verses of Surah At-Tur, and we're going to listen to the words of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah have mercy on him as he explains this surah. And in fact, as we typically have done, we have read from his book, which is a transcription of all of his audio lectures that he gave in tafsir of the Qur'an. We're going to begin by listening to the Shaykh recite the opening verses for us, and then we'll go from there reading from his published book, inshallah.
يقول الله تبارك وتعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والطور وكتاب مسطور في رق منشور والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور. هذه أشياء أقسم الله بها. الأول الطور.
There we have our Shaykh and his beautiful voice. May Allah Ta'ala give him firdaus. He introduces the very beginning of the surah, saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And just previous to this, he gave a reminder that he has explained the issue of the basmala in detail in previous sessions of his. And we can refer you now to the 3-part series by our brothers at Troyd, in which we read from the tafsir of Al-Fatiha by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and he explained the issues related to the basmala, the saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. You can refer to those in the English language as they are widely available and published by our brothers at Troyd. So today we say the first verses of Surah Tur as read by our Shaykh up to verse number 6. Allah swears by the Tur. He says, وَالطُّورِ. He swears by a Tur. And then he swears by something else. وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ. A book inscribed, or a written book, written in lines. فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورٍ. In parchment, or in a written surface that is unrolled, or perhaps it means spread out. وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ. And he swears by the house which is maintained, meaning by continual visits and continual acts of worship at that house, and we'll talk about the scholars' positions on the meaning of that. وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ. And the raised roof. وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ. And the ocean, or the sea, that is held back. It is full and it is maintained and held back from spilling over. Or it could have a second meaning. All of these things will be discussed by our Shaykh, and as we will hear them now, insha'Allah ta'ala. Our Shaykh says, هذه أشياء أقسم الله بها. These are the things here that Allah ta'ala takes an oath by. He swears by them. الأول. The first of them, الطور, the mountain. وهو الجبل الذي كلم الله عليه موسى ابن عمران عليه الصلاة والسلام. It is the mountain upon which Allah spoke to Moses, the son of Imran, Musa ibn Imran. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى كَلَّمَهُ أَوَّلَ مَا كَلَّمَهُ عَلَى جَبَلِ الطُّورِ. Was that Allah spoke to him directly with the very first revelation, or the very first speech that he addressed him with upon the mountain of At-Tur, the Tur mountain. فَكَانَ لِهَذَا الْجَبَلِ مِنَ الشَّرَفِ وَالْفَضَلِ مَا سَبَقَ بِهِ غَيْرَهُ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ. So then this mountain, as a result, it has virtue, it has status that precedes the status and virtue of all other mountains. وَلِهَذَا أَطْلَقَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنَّ جَبَلَ الطُّورِ أَفْضَلُ الْجِبَالِ وَأَشْرَفُهَا أَفْضَلُ الْجِبَالِ وَأَشْرَفُهَا. And based on this, a number of the scholars had generalized and said that the Tur mountain is the greatest of all mountains and the most virtuous or most noble or most honored. وَعَلَى هَذَا يَكُونُ أَشْرَفَ وَأَفْضَلَ مِنْ جَبَلِ حِرَى. And if you were to stick to this literally, then that would mean that it is more virtuous and more honorable than the mountain of the Hira mountain. الَّذِي ابْتَدَأَ فِيهِ الْوَحِي لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. It would be more virtuous than even the Hira mountain, where the revelation began to reach the Messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, and likewise all of his family members. هَذَا ظَاهِرُ إِطْلَاقِ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. This is what we would understand from the apparent usage or the phrase used by many of the scholars. وَلَكِنْ فِي هَذَا الظَّاهِرِ نَظَرًا. However, there is a point of consideration or a point of contention regarding this point. لِأَنَّ جَبَلَ حِرَاءَ كُلِّمَ مِنْهُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Since it is the mountain of Hira where the messenger was spoken to, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لَكِنْ كَلَّمَهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ مُرْسَلًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. However, Jibreel was the one who spoke to him, may Allah grant him peace, being dispatched from Allah. فَمِنْهُ ابْتَدَأَتْ أَفْضَلُ الرِّسَالَاتِ عَلَىٰ أَفْضَلِ الرُّسُلِ. So at this place, on this mountain, began the very best and most virtuous of all messages, revealed to the most virtuous of all prophets, of all messengers. وَأَيْضًا حِرَاءٌ دَاخِلُ الْحَرَمِ الْمَكِّيِ. Also, the mountain of Hira is, or the cave of Hira, I'm saying mountain, the mountain is called Jabal al-Nur, and the mountain is called, or the cave is called Hira. The Hira mountain, or the Hira cave on the Nur mountain, it is inside of the boundary of Mecca. لِأَنَّهُ مِنَ الْحَرَمِ. It is part of the haram. الَّذِي لَا يَحِلُّ صَيْدُهُ وَلَا قَطْعُ شَجَرِهِ. The haram that it's not allowed to hunt there, and it's not allowed to cut the trees down there. وَبُقْعَةُ الْحَرَمِ أَفْضَلُ الْبِقَاعِ. And the haram is a sanctuary more virtuous than all of the other places on earth. وَيُمْكِنُ أَنْ يُحْمَلَ إِطْلَاقُ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى هَذَا. So then it's possible to understand the generalized mention that some scholars, or that many scholars have said, in this way. فَيُقَالُ إِلَّا جَبَلَ حِرَاءٍ. Except the mountain that has the Hira cave in it. وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ. The second verse. And Allah swears by a book that is written. فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورٍ. In parchment or in scrolls that are spread out. الْكِتَابُ الْمَسْطُورُ فِي الرَّقِّ. The kitab that is written is in a raq, in a parchment or on something, a surface that is written. اختلف فيه العلماء. The scholars differed over exactly what that refers to. وهذا الخلاف ينبني على كلمة رق. This differing, it roots in the very understanding of the word رق. هل الرق كل ما يكتب فيه. Is the word رق understood to be every single thing, every writing surface there is? من جلد وورق وعظم وحجر وغير ذلك. Skin or leather, paper or leaves of a tree, bones, rocks, and everything else. أو هو خاص بما يكتب فيه من جلود ونحوها. Or is it something specific that is like parchment material, perhaps ancient parchment material of leather and so on, things that are more specific to writing. In قُلْنَا بِالْأَوَّلِ, if we understood it the first way, and that is, it includes every surface that you can write on, صَارَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْكِتَابِ عِدَّةْ أَشْيَاءِ, then the meaning of the word kitab would refer to a number of things. مِنْهَا لَوْهَ الْمَحْفُوظِ, it could refer to, or it refers to, the preserved tablet in the heavens. وَمِنْهَا الْكُتُبُ الَّتِي بِأَيْدِي الْمَلَائِكَةِ, it could also refer to, or it also refers to, on this understanding, the books, the written orders, or the written books that are in the hands of the angels. وَمِنْهَا الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ, and it also would refer to the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an. وَمِنْهَا التَّوْرَاتِ, and the Torah, the message given to Moses. فَيَشْمَلُ كُلَّ عِدَّةَ كُتُبٍ, فَيَشْمَلُ عِدَّةَ كُتُبٍ, and this means it would include in this meaning many books. وَإِذَا قُلْنَا إِنَّ الرَّقَّ هُوَ الْوَرَقُ وَشِبْهُهُ, if we said that the meaning of a raq is paper specifically and things that resemble paper, things that are customarily used as writing surfaces, like leather and like paper, as the Shaykh has explained, فَاللَّوْحُ الْمَحْفُوظُ لَا يَدْخُلُ فِي هَذَا, on the second understanding, the preserved tablet in the heavens does not enter into this meaning. وَإِنَّمَا الْمُرَادُ بِهِ إِمَّا التَّوْرَاتُ وَإِمَّا الْقُرْآنُ, then the meaning would be restricted to either the Qur'an or the Tawrat, either the Qur'an given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the Torah given to Moses. فَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا, the scholars who have said, إِنَّهُ التَّوْرَاتُ, the scholars who said the meaning here that's intended is the Torah, رَجَّحُوا قَوْلَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُ قُرِنَ بِالطُّورِ, they said, to qualify their answer, that the mention of the book here that's written has been paired with the mention of that mountain. That mountain, وَطُورُ هُوَ الَّذِي كَلَّمَ مِنْهُ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and that's the mountain upon which he spoke to Musa. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَكَانَ الْكِتَابُ الْمَسْطُورُ هُوَ التَّوْرَاةُ, so then the book that is written is referred to here, according to this group of scholars, is the Torah. الَّتِي جَاءَ بِهَا مُوسَى, the one that Moses came with. وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِهِ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ, those who said that the intended meaning here is the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, رَجَّحَ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ ذَكَرَ الطُّورَ الَّذِي أُوحِيَ مِنْهُ إِلَى مُوسَى, أو الَّذِي أُوحَى مِنْهُ إِلَى مُوسَى, they said that they qualified their argument by saying that Allah mentioned the Tur, that which he sent down revelation to Moses upon, وَذَكَرَ الْكِتَابَ الَّذِي هُوَ الْقُرْآنِ, and then he went on to mention the book which is the Qur'an, أُوحِيَ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, which was revealed to Muhammad. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَيَكُونُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى ذَكَرَ أَشْرَفَ الرِّسَالَاتِ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِمَاءً بِذِكْرِ الطُّورِ. In this case, the understanding would be that Allah the Blessed and Most High had mentioned the most honorable of all messages from what was given to the children of Israel. إِمَاءً, as an indication through the mention of the mountain At-Tur. وَذَكَرَ أَشْرَفَ الرِّسَالَاتِ أَلَّتِي بُعِثَ بِهَا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then after that, he mentioned the most honorable of all messages that have been sent to the children of Ismail, not the children of Israel, and they are the Arabs. Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَعَلَى هَذَا, then, based on this, فَيَتَعَيَّنُ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْكِتَابِ الْمَسْطُورِ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ, الْقُرْآنَ الْكَرِيمُ, then based on this understanding, it shows that that meaning which is specified and is intended in this verse is that the kitab, the book that is written, is the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an. Manshur, spread out or unrolled, صِفَةٌ لِكِتَاب, it's the description of the book. وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَنْ تَكُونَ صِفَةً صِفَةً لِرَقْ, it also could be a description of the raq, that the pages or the parchment are spread out. وَالْمَعْنَى وَاحِد, and however, the meaning would be the same anyway. وَالْمُرَادُ بِالْمَنْشُورِ يَعْنِي الْمُفَرَّقِ الَّذِي يَكُونُ بِأَيْدِي كُلِّ قَارِئِ, the meaning of manshur, spread out, is that it is spread out so that it lands or that it is in the hands of every person who reads it. وَهَذَا يُصَدِّقُ تَمَامًا عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ وَهَذَا يَصْدُقُ تَمَامًا عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. And this applies perfectly to the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ كُدْنِ قَارِ حَتَّى الصِّغَارِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَهُ. Then by Allah's praise, or we praise Allah, and to Him is the praise that is due, the Qur'an is in fact in the hands of every reader, of every person who reads it. Even the children of the Muslims, they read the Qur'an, they have it in their hands. So it is spread out. وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ. Then the house that is maintained, the house that is established and maintained, هَذَا هُوَ الثَّالِثُ مِمَّا أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ. This is the third thing that Allah the Mighty has sworn by in this Quranic passage, in these verses. وَهُوَ بَيْتٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَةِ يُقَالُ لَهَا الضُّرَاحِ. It is a house, a structure that is in the seventh heaven, and it's called the Duraah. هَذَا الْبَيْتِ يَدْخُلُهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفِ مَلَكٍ يَتَعَبَّدُونَ فِيهِ. In this house, 70,000 angels enter into it, and they worship Allah in it. ثُمَّ لَا يَعُودُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And then they never come back to it. And this is as reported in the authentic hadith collections of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. فَبِنَاءً عَلَى هَذَا كَمْ عَدَدُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then, if you base your understanding of the angels on this, how many would their number be? لَا يُحْسِيهِمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one could enumerate them other than Allah. مَنْ يُحْسِي الْأَيَّامِ. Who could count the days of the whole creation, of the whole universe? ثُمَّ مَنْ يُحْسِي سَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا. كُلِّ يَوْمٍ يَدْخُلُونَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Who could count the days of, you know, of the days that go by, and every day angels go in it? Who could count the days, let alone who could count the angels, 70,000 for every one of those days? If we couldn't count the days themselves, then how could we multiply that by 70,000? Every day 70,000 angels go in, يَدْخُلُونَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ, going into this maintained house, وَلَا يَعُودُونَ إِلَيْهِ, and they don't return back to it. Meaning there are new angels every single time. وَقِيلَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ بَيْتُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It's also been said that the meaning of al-bayt al-ma'mur, the maintained house, is the house of Allah upon earth. وَهُوَ الْكَعْبَةُ. It is the Kaaba in Mecca. لِأَنَّهُ مَعْمُورٌ بِالطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. As it is maintained through the acts of worship of those who devoutly stay in it, those who stand to pray in it, those who bow, and those who prostrate in it. فَهَلْ يُمْكِنُ أَن تُحْمَلَ الْآيَةُ عَلَى الْمَعْنَيَيْنِ جَمِيعًا. Is it possible for us to understand this verse that the intended meaning of the maintained house is both? Both are considered the maintained house, one in the heavens and one on earth, and they are both referred to in this verse. The Shaykh poses this question, and then he says, الْقَاعِدَةُ فِي التَّفْسِيرِ. He gives us a principle as it relates to understanding the Qur'an. He says, أَنَّ الْآيَةَ إِذَا احْتَمَلَتْ مَعْنَيَيْنِ عَلَى السَّوَاءِ. If an ayah indicates two meanings equally, right? وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا مُنَافَاتٌ, and there is no reason why one must be accepted and the other rejected, وَجَبَ أَن تُحْمَلَ عَلَى كُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا. Then you must understand the verse that it actually refers to both things, and not one or the other. لِأَنَّ الْمُتَكَلِّمُ بِهَا وَهُوَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى عَالِمٌ. Because the one who spoke with these verses, and he is Allah, the Mighty and Most High, is all knowledgeable. بِمَا تَحْتَمِلُهُ مِنَ الْمَعَانِ. Regarding everything that could be understood, all the meanings that could be produced by that phrase. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُبَيِّنْ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ أَحَدَ الْمَعَانِي. So if he did not clarify that his intention was one of those meanings, فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ أَن تُحْمَلَ عَلَى كُلِّ مَا تَحْتَمِلُهُ مِنَ الْمَعَانِي الصَّحِيحَ. Then we understand it as an obligation that it is applied to all of the things that it could refer to of correct meanings. للمعاني الباطلة, not incorrect, false meanings containing falsehood. وليس هناك منافاة بين أن يكون المقسم به بين أن يكون المقسم به الكعبة أو البيت المعمور في السماء أو البيت المعمور في السماء. There is no contradiction here that would require us to say that it must be that house which is sworn by in this passage must be the Kaaba, or that it must be that house high in the heavens. لِأَنَّ كُلًّا أَوْ كِلَ الْبَيْتَيْنِ مُعَظَّمٌ, because both houses are in high reverence, honored highly. ذَلِكَ وَذَاكَ مُعَظَّمٌ فِي أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ, that one up there is honored and regarded highly by the residents of the skies, the angels. وَهَذَا مُعَظَّمٌ فِي أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, and this one, the Kaaba, is respected and regarded highly by the people of the earth. وَلَا مَانَعَ, and there's no restriction here, there's nothing preventing the combination of both meanings, that the house that is referred to is actually both houses. فَالصَّوَابُ, then the correct understanding is أَنَّ الْآيَةَ شَامِلَةٌ لِهَذَا وَهَذَا, that the ayah includes a reference to this and that. إِلَّا إِذَا وُجِدَ قَرِينَةٌ تُرَجِّحُ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِهِ الْبَيْتُ الْمَعْمُورُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, unless there is some evidence that accompanies this argument that would prove that the intended meaning is the house that is in the skies and not the Kaaba. وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ, the fifth verse, and the raised roof. أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ, Allah, the Most High, has sworn by the raised roof. وَهُوَ السَّمَاءُ, and it is the sky. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah, the Most High, has said, اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَفَعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. It's from Surah Al-Ra'd, the second verse. Allah is the one who has raised up the heavens or the skies without any help or without any support pillars that you could see. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And that's from Surah Al-Anbiya, the 32nd verse. And we have made the sky to be a protected covering, a protected roof. And this while the disbelievers are turning away from my signs, or our signs. وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ, I misread the ayat. وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ, and they are turning away from its signs, meaning the signs found in the creation. That's from the 32nd verse of Al-Anbiya again. فَالسَّمَاءُ سَقْفٌ, so the sky is a cover or a roof. وَالسَّمَاءُ مَرْفُوعَ, and the sky is something raised high. إِذَنْ فَالسَّقْفُ الْمَرْفُوعُ هُوَ السَّمَاءُ, then this raised covering is in fact the sky. وَسَمَّاهُ اللَّهُ سَقْفًا لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ غَمَرَ جَمِيعَ الْأَرْضِ, it's called a covering since it covers up the entire earth. مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْجَوَانِبِ, from every direction. كَمَا يَغْمَرُ أَسَّقْفَ الْحُجْرَةِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْجَوَانِبِ, like the covering over a roof, or over a room, would cover it from every different, from every angle. وَإِنَّمَا أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالسَّمَاءِ, and the reason that Allah swore by the sky, لِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الْعَظِيمَةِ, due to the many great signs that are found within it, مِن نُجُومٍ وَشَمْسٍ وَقَمَرٍ, like the stars and the sun and the moon, وَإِحْكَامٍ وَإِتْقَانٍ, and the precise and very specific way that everything has been masterfully created and organized. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا, He's the one who has created seven heavens as layers, one upon the next. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوَتٍ, you see in the creation of Allah no deficiencies, no lapses. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Go look again with your eyes. Look, do you see any gaps? ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Then look back again. يعني مَرَّةً بَعْدَ مَرَّةً. Again and again. Repeat your investigation, your look and your glance, your looking to the sky. Repeat it. يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Your eyes return back to you, unable to find any deficiency or gap. That's from the opening verses of Surah Al-Mulk. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَتْ لِلسَّمَاءِ فُرُوجٍ. So he has informed us that there is no gap in the sky, there is no missing place, there is no missing element, there is no place where there is other than a sky up there. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا تَشَقُّقٌ وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا عَيْبٌ. And there is no cuts, or there are no rips, and there are no missing places, and there is no deficiency there. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا تَصَدُّعْ وَلَا تُبْلَ عَلَى طُولِ الْمُدَّةِ فَهِيَ جَدِيرًا بِأَنْ يُقْسَمَ اللَّهُ بِهَا. And there is no corruption, and there is no spoiling, it doesn't go away, it doesn't crumble, it doesn't lose its strength. So long as the time goes on, it never becomes weak, it never becomes corrupt. So it is befitting that Allah would swear by it as one of the greatest things in His creation. وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ. The next thing He swears by, the sixth verse here in the opening verses of Surah Al-Tur, is the Bahr, the ocean or the sea that is held back, or that is ignited as in a flame. كلمة البحر قيل إن المراد به. The meaning of the word بحر or ocean or sea here, it's been said that the meaning is البحر الذي عليه عرش الرحمن, the ocean that is beneath the throne of the Most Merciful, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. كما قال تعالى, as Allah the High and Mighty has said, وكان عرشه على الماء, and His throne was above water. And that's from Surah Hud, the seventh verse. وقيل المراد به البحر الذي في الأرض لأنه المشاهد المشاهد المعلوم الذي فيه من آيات الله ما يبهر العقول. The other possible meaning that some scholars have said is that the ocean or the sea that is referred to here is the sea and the ocean, the water of the earth, since it is something seen and known about, that which is from the signs of Allah that amaze the intellects of the people. وَالصَّحِيحُ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِهِ بَحْرُ الْأَرْضِ. And the correct understanding is that the reference here is to the oceans of the earth. لِأَنَّ أَلْ, the Alif Lam here, فِي الْبَحْرِ لِلْعَهْدِ الذِّهْنِ. The Alif Lam refers to something that has been mentioned. The article the ocean, like in English, when you say the ocean is something that must have been spoken about earlier, or something that is obviously in the minds of the listeners. The ocean, the one that you know I'm talking about. That's called al-ahd al-dhihni. When it's al-ahd, and I'm adding this for further clarification, al-ahd al-dhikri is when it's been previously mentioned. And that's the ocean that I just spoke about. So here we have al-ahd al-dhihni, the ocean that's in your mind, that is the first ocean that comes to your mind when you hear the ocean. طيب, يعني البحر المعهود الذي تعرفونه. That ocean which is well known and everybody knows about it. فأقسم الله به. Allah has taken an oath by it. Allah has sworn by it. لما فيه من آيات الله العظيمة من أسماك وأمواج. Due to the many signs, the many great signs of Allah that are in it, like the different fish or sea life and the waves of the ocean, وغير هذا, and other things, مما نعلمه ومما لا نعلمه, of the things that we know of and the things that we know not of. ومن أعظم ما فيه من آيات الله, and from the greatest of all things, of all ayat, of all signs of Allah that are found in the ocean, ما أشار إليه تعالى في قوله المسجور, is what is referred to by his statement, Al-Masjur, the description of the ocean, يعني Al-Mamnu', that which is held back, that which is restrained and held back. وَمِنْهُ سَجَرْتُ الْكَلْبَ يعني رَبَطْتُهُ حَتَّى لَا يَهْرَبْ. The Arabic word sajara can be used in this expression where you say, I have restrained the dog, meaning tied him down, so that he will not run away. So the word sajara can be used like that. So masjur is something sujira, something that was held back or restrained. فَالْبَحْرُ مَمْنُوعُ. So the bahr, the ocean, has been held back. It is something that is held back. By what? بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ. By the power, the all-encompassing power and authority of Allah, the mighty and majestic. إِنَّنَا نَعْلَمُ جَمِيعًا أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ كُرَوِيَّ. We all know that the earth is round. وَهَذَا الْبَحْرُ لَوْ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ بِمُقْتَضَى الطَّبِيعَةِ لَكَانَ يَفِيضُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Since the earth is shaped in a round shape, then what we would expect is that we look into nature, into the way things really work, that the water of the ocean should be spilling over all over the land. لِأَنَّهُ لَا جُدْرَانَ تَمْنَعُ. Because there is no wall, no physical barrier that we see that's holding back that water from spilling out over the land. وَالْأَرْضُ كُرَوِيَّ مِثْلُ الْكُرَى. The earth is round, like the shape of a ball. فَلَوْ نَظَرْنَا إِلَى هَذَا الْبَحْرِ بِمُقْتَضَى الطَّبِيعَةِ. If we looked at this earth, or this ocean, naturally, لَقُلْنَا لَابُدْ أَنْ يَفِيضَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ فَيُغْرِقَهَا. We would say, based on the way things are organized in the creation, the water should be spilling over, and it should be drowning everything on the surface of the earth. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَمْسَكَهُ بِقُدْرَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَهُوَ مَسْجُورٌ. However, it is Allah, the Blessed and Most High, who holds it back with His ultimate powers and unrestricted abilities. Glorified and Most High, فَهُوَ مَسْجُورٌ. So the ocean is held back, it is restrained. أي ممنوع من أن يفيض على الأرض فيغرق أهلها. It is restrained back and kept back from pouring out and spilling over onto the earth and drowning all of the residents of the earth. وهذه آية من آيات الله. This is one of the many signs of Allah. فلو صب فوق الكرة ما. So if we pour water on top of a ball-shaped object, لَذَهَبَ يَغْمَرُ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. You would find the water would go all over the surface of that ball. لَكِنْ هَذَا الْبَحْرُ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَفِيضَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. However, these massive bodies of water, these oceans, they are not able to spill out over the surface of the earth because of the power and the ability of Allah to restrain it. And He is glorified and Most High. وَانْظُرْ إِلَى الْحِكْمَةِ تَأْتِي أَيَامَ الْمَدِّ وَالْجَزَرِ. Look at how the wisdom takes place when you see the days of the tide coming in and out, high tide and low tide. نَفْسُ الْبَحْرِ يَمْتَدْ امْتِدَادًا عَظِيمًا لِعِدَّةِ أَمْتَارِ وَرُبَّمَا أَمْيَالِ. You find that the same ocean or the same sea reaches out in a very big way, meters and meters, or perhaps even miles beyond what it would normally reach. ثُمَّ يَنْحَسَرُ. And then it comes back. So it comes out and then it comes back. مَنَ الَّذِي مَدَّهُ. Who's the one who allowed it to come out that far? وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَبَقِيَ مُمْتَدًّا حَتَّى يُغْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. Had he wanted, it could have come out and kept coming out, extending upon the land until it drowned the people. وَمَنَ الَّذِي رَدَّهُ. Who's the one who brings it back and puts it back in its place? Who? Allahu. It is Allah. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ هَذَا الْبَحْرُ جَدِيرًا بِأَنْ يُقْسَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Then, thus, based on all of this, this ocean, this magnificent ocean, is something very suitable that Allah would take an oath by or swear by in His Qur'an. وَفِي الْبَحْرِ آيَاتٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. And there are so many signs of Allah that are found within the ocean. يقال إنه ما من شيء على البر من حيوان وأشجار إلا وله نذير في البحر بل أزيد. It's been said, meaning scientists who've studied the ocean, marine biologists have said, that there is nothing on the earth, nothing on land, animals, trees, everything, except that it has a likeness underwater. And there are more things underwater than there are on land. لِأَنَّ الْبَحْرَ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلْيَابِسِ Because the ocean, when you compare it to the dry land, بِمِثْلِ أَكْثَرَ أَوْ يُمَثِّلُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ فِي الْمِئَةِ When you compare land and water on earth, the water occupies more than 70% of the surface. وَفِيهِ أَشْيَاءُ لَا نَرَى لَهَا نَظِيرًا فِي الْبَرِّ There are things in the ocean that we find no comparison or no similar creation on land. وَهَذَا مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ These are from the many signs of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَأَعْظَمُ آيَةٍ فِي الْبَحْرِ هُوَ أَنَّهُ مَسْجُورٌ The greatest of all the signs that can be found within the ocean is the fact that it is مسجور أي ممنوع meaning held back من أن يفيض على الأرض so that it does not spill out and cover the earth فيغرق أهلها and thus cause all of the inhabitants of earth to drown وقيل المراد بالمسجور الذي سيسجر However, it's also been said, in a second opinion here, that the meaning of masjur has a different meaning. It is that which is ignited or kindled as a flame. Ayuqadu, kama qala Allah ta'ala. Like Allah has said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ And when the oceans shall be set ablaze or kindled as fire, أَيُوقِدَتْ And he set to fire. وَهَذَا يَكُونُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And this will take place on the Day of Judgment. نَسْأَلَ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ May Allah grant us safety. هَذَا الْمَاءُ الَّذِي نُشَاهِدُهُ الْآنِ This ocean, the water, that we witness today, وَالَّذِي لَوْ سَقَطَتْ مِنْهُ جَمْرَةٌ أَوْ مَرَّ عَلَى جَمْرَةٍ لَأَطْفَأَهَا The water that we see, if a little bit of it would go on a hot coal, it would put out the fire, it would put out the heat of the coal. One drop of water or a little bit of water. يوم القيامة يكون نارا يسجر. On the Day of Judgment, it will be that water itself will be a blazing fire, a fire set to blaze. وَهَذَا مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ And that is from the signs of Allah, عز وجل, the Mighty and Majestic. وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ الْمَعْنَيَانِ جَمِيعًا And the intended meaning here is both. لأنه لا منافات بين هذا وهذا. As there is nothing to restrict the understanding of both meanings being intended in this verse. فكلاهما من آيات الله. Both of them are from the signs of Allah عز وجل, the Mighty and Majestic. أي سواء. سواء قلنا المسجور الممنوع. Whether we said that Masjur means held back and restricted, min an yafidha ala al-ard, held back from pouring out and spilling out over the land. أو المسجور الذي سيسجر أي يوقد Or whether we said that the ocean being masjur means it will be kindled and made into a fire and set ablaze. فَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ Both of these ideas would be signs from the many signs of Allah. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعَ Verily, the punishment of your Lord is going to take place. It is absolutely going to take place. That's the seventh verse from Surah At-Tur. هَذَا هُوَ جَوَابُ الْقَسَمِ This is what Allah has sworn about, or what Allah has sworn by all of these things in the first six verses. It is regarding the reality of His punishment. وهذه الجملة مؤكدة بثلاثة مؤكدات This sentence, verily the punishment of your Lord is surely to happen, there are three linguistic devices used to stress the reality of it and to emphasize the meaning. Al-qasamu bi khamsati ashya. There is that Allah has sworn by five things in the first six verses. وَإِذَا كَانَ قَسَمًا بِخَمْسَةِ أَشْيَاءَ صَارَ كَأَنَّهُ أَقْسَمَ عَلَيْهَا خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ. And if there are five things that Allah has sworn by, then it's as if Allah has sworn five times. And that would mean whatever information is coming is very emphasized. وَالثَّانِي. The second device to emphasize the information in this verse is أَنَّ. And it is, or inna, afwan, inna. Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqa. Inna. The word inna means surely, verily, certainly, without doubt. Wa thalithu alam. And the third linguistic device used to emphasize the reality of what's happening or what's being informed about in this verse is the lam. Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqa. That lam is not part of the word waqa. It's a prefix. It's an additional letter added to stress the speech that's being spoken with here. Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi'. Surely, the punishment of your Lord will surely take place. And that's after Allah has sworn by all of those things. Inna adhaba rabbika lawaqi'. Verily, the punishment of your Lord shall take place. Absolutely. يعني لا بد أن يقع عذاب الله الذي وعد به. There is absolute certainty in that the punishment of Allah that He has threatened with will take place. هَذِهِ وَاللَّهِ جُمْلَةٌ عَظِيمًا مُؤَثِّرًا. This is a very, very severely effective passage of the Qur'an, an effective sentence that causes effect. Like, إِنَّهَا لَا تُؤَثِّرُ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَلْبٍ لَيِّنْ كَلِينِ الزُّبَدْ أَوْ أَشَدْ. It doesn't impact. It doesn't have an impact or an influence or an effect except on a soft heart. A soft heart, like the heart that is soft as butter or even softer. أَمَّا الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي. It's for the hardened heart. فَلَا يَهْتَمُّ بِهَا. Then the hardened heart has no concern for this. تَمُرُّ عَلَيْهِ وَكَأَنَّهُ حِجَارَةٌ. Things like this pass it by. It's like a rock. وَكَانَ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا قَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ. Umar, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, if he used to read this verse, or when he read this verse, يُمْرَضْ حَتَّى يُعَادْ. He would become ill until someone would come to visit him. يُمْرَضْ مِنْ شِدَّةِ مَا يَقَعُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ مِنَ التَّأَثُّرْ حَتَّى يُعَادْ. He would become physically ill because of the stress put on his heart and the influence of this verse landing on his heart until someone would come to visit him. فَإِذَا كَانَ وَاقِعًا وَلَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. If it's the case that it is a reality and there's nothing that's going to save people from it, أَلَيْسَ الْجَدِيرُ بِنَا أَن نَخَافِ. Isn't it befitting for us that we are afraid? بَلَا وَاللَّهِ هَذَا هُوَ الْجَدِيرُ. Nay, this is indeed that which is appropriate and befitting for us as Muslims. وَقَوْلُهُ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. And his statement, verily the punishment of your Lord shall certainly take place. يَعْنِي لَا بُدَّ أَن يَقَعْ. It must take place. Absolutely it will happen. وَلَكِنْ هَلْ هَذَا التَّأْكِيدُ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِعَذَابِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَوْ لِعَذَابِ الْكَافِرِينَ. This confirmed emphasis placed on the absolute nature of this punishment taking place, is that in regards to the punishment of the believers, the sinful believers who deserve punishment, or is it specific to the punishment that is for the disbelievers? لننظر. Let us take a look. قال الله تعالى. Allah has said, سأل سائل بعذاب واقع. A questioner asked about the punishment that is going to happen, the waqi', the reality, the punishment that is a reality. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. For the disbelievers, there is no way to repel it. That verse specifies the disbelievers. مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. You find this in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'arij. فَضَمَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ إِلَى الْآيَةِ الَّتِي فِي الطُّورِ. أو فضم, يعني take it and put this verse in context with the other verse that we're talking about in Surah Tur. تجد أن قوله إن عذاب ربك لواقع ما له من دافع. You'll find that his statement, verily the punishment of your Lord is certainly a reality, and there is nothing that can possibly repel it. That's the 7th and 8th verses now. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that the meaning here is from the disbelievers. Nothing could repel the punishment of Allah from the disbelievers. فَعَذَابُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. So the punishment of Allah that is coming for the disbelievers, there is nothing to protect them or repel the punishment from them. لا أحد يدفعه. No one could push it back. لا قبل وقوعه ولا بعد وقوعه. Not before it's happening and not after it comes. ولهذا لا تنفعهم الشفاعة فيرفع عنهم العذاب. So thus, there is no intercession that could be accepted, and then the punishment would be excused, or they would be excused from the punishment because of that intercession. That doesn't happen. أَمَّا عَذَابُ اللَّهِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُذْنِبِ. As for the punishment of Allah for the disobedient Muslim, the disobedient believer, فَإِنَّ الْأَصْلَ أَنَّهُ وَاقَعُ. And the reality is that it must take place, that it's going to happen, that it's a reality. كل ذنب توعد الله عليه بالعذاب فالأصل أنه واقع. Every sin that a person does, that Allah has promised punishment for, then the base ruling is that that punishment is going to take place. لكنه, however, مع ذلك قد يرفع بفضل من الله. With that base ruling, we say as well, that punishment could be lifted as a bounty from Allah. عز وجل, the mighty and majestic. وقد يرفع بالشفاعة. It could be, a person could be relieved of it or excused from it due to intercession. وقد يرفع بأعمال صالحة. Some good deeds might come and be the reason by which that a punishment will not affect that person or will not reach that person. تغمر الأعمال السيئة. Covering up the bad deeds. The good deeds coming to wipe out and expiate and wash away the bad deeds, the sins. أَمَا تَرَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Don't you see that Allah has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Verily Allah does not forgive that partners are associated with Him, that shirk is committed with Him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. However, He forgives less than that for whomever He chooses, for whoever He wants. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Don't you know that the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, قَالَ, he said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمْ يَمُوتُ فَيَقُومُ عَلَى جَنَازَتِهِ أَرْبَعُونَ رَجُلًا لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا شَفَّعَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ. Allahu Akbar. There is no Muslim who dies, and then 40 Muslims or 40 men stand in the janazah prayer to pray over him. Men who do not commit any shirk with Allah in any way, except that Allah will make them to be intercessors for him, meaning on the Day of Judgment. This hadith was collected by Al-Imam Muslim. فَيَرْتَفِعُ عَنْهُ الْعَذَابُ. So in this case, the punishment would be excused. وَعَلَى هَذَا نَقُولُ. And based on everything here, we say, عَذَابُ اللَّهِ وَاقِعٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَحَالَ. The punishment of Allah that Allah has promised or threatened the disbelievers with will take place, and there is no way around it. وَلَا دَافِعَ لَهُ. And there is no repelling it. أَمَّا عَلَى عُصَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّ الْأَصْلَ الْوُقُوعُ. As it relates to the punishment that the disobedient Muslims deserve, and they have been threatened with, then the base rule on that is that it will also happen. وَقَدْ أَنذَرَ اللَّهُ الْعِبَادِ وَخَوَّفَهُمْ وَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ. Allah has warned the servants, and He has frightened them, given them that which would scare them from their sins. And he has explained to them, لكن مع ذلك قد يرتفع بأسباب متعددة. With all of this, the punishment could still be excused for a number of reasons. إن عذاب ربك لواقع. Verily the punishment of your Lord is certain to take place. ما له من دافع. There is nothing that exists that could repel it. That's the 7th and 8th verses again. ما نافية. ما is a negation. ما له. There is nothing that could repel it. Huh? ودافع مبتدأ مؤخر. There is no دافع that could repel it. There is nothing that could, no repellent, no nothing that could hold back the punishment of Allah. دخلت عليها من الزائدة للتوكيد. ما له دافع. No, it says ما له من دافع. The min here is an extra word as it concerns the rules of Nahu and the diagramming of sentences and so on. Min is considered to be za'ida للتوكيد. It is not necessary as a structure of the sentence. However, it adds confirmation. ما له دافع means there is nothing to repel it. ما له من دافع is a stronger expression of that same idea. There is nothing that could possibly repel it. Maybe we could turn it into something like that in English, or express it in English like that. يعني ما من أحد ولو عظمت منزلته. There is not a single person, no matter what status he had, no matter how great his status was, وقوته and his strength, يدفع أو يرفع عذاب الله. He could repel or remove the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestically. And nadafi' huna, the meaning of the word dafi', or the word dafi', to make a dafi', to push something back, huh? Tashmalu al-man' qabla al-wuku'. It includes possibly preventing something from happening before it happens. Wa raf' ba'd al-wuku'. It also could include the idea of removing something that has already taken place. لا أحد يدفع عذاب الله ولا يمنعه عن أن ينزل ولا يرفعه إذا نزل. There is no one who could repel or hold back the punishment of Allah. No one who could prevent it from happening wherever it happens. And there is no one who could remove it after it happened. وإنما ذلك إلى الله وحده. And that is something that is specific to Allah alone. نسأل الله تعالى. We ask Allah the Most High أن يعاملنا بعفوه. That He treats us, or He deals with us, with forgiveness and overlooking our sins. وأن يغفر لنا ما سلف من ذنوبنا وما حضر. We ask Him that He forgives us for all of our sins that we have committed and those that we are doing or will do. إنه على كل شيء قدير. Verily He is above all things with power and ability. And with these words, we finish the reading of the tafsir of our great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah have mercy upon him for the first 8 verses of Surah At-Tur. And we have 4 remaining sessions to study this Surah completely. Insha'Allahu ta'ala, we ask Allahu ta'ala to grant us the ability to reflect over these verses, to understand their meanings, and to allow them to take place, to have an effect upon our hearts, and that He leads us and He guides us to true, earnest repentance from what we have fallen into, and proper, upright actions in the future. We say all of this, asking for His bounties and His grace and His mercy in this beautiful month of Ramadan. We will see you, insha'Allah ta'ala, next Monday at this time here on Mirath Radio, insha'Allah ta'ala, to study the 9th verses and beyond in our second of five sessions on this topic, the tafsir of Surah At-Tur. This is what Allah made easy for us today. وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And we ask Allah to raise the rank of His Prophet Muhammad and to grant him peace, and also to his family, companions, and followers to the last day. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.